This episode of the JS Online and PackersNews.com podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino. Get on island time to win a Caribbean cruise at Pottawatomie, Thursdays in October and November. For more, you can go to paysbig.com/islandtime. Welcome, everybody, to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers Podcast. Always takes me a little while to get through that, but somehow we do it. I'm here. I am Tom Silverstein, one of your hosts. I'm here with Jim Osarski from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, both of us. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Tom.
Great day and great day to be alive.
Yeah.
Some would say. So let's go right into the big matchup everybody's been talking about. Actually, I wanted to get your opinion on this because someone asked me this on a Patriots podcast this morning, and that was how much buildup, whatever, is there between the Tom Brady, in your mind, and the Tom Brady Aaron Rodgers matchup here in this state? I mean, how much do you sense that this is a huge buildup for that meeting?
That's a good question. I feel we as media members seem to care about it. We ask the coaches and the players and all of that stuff. I don't know if I've heard much from fans, though, You know, in terms of, you know, we can't wait to see Tom Brady play our team. I think at least the fan base that I've been in tune with, whether it be the Reddit sub, shout out to you guys at Packers Reddit or on the Facebook groups or even in my Twitter mentions, I mean, emails, It's focused on the Packers and just what the issues are here. Not so much, you know, Tom Brady.
And that's exactly what I told them. I said my gut feeling or my sense is that the trade deadline sort of has overshadowed all of that. The trade of HaHa Clinton Dix to Washington and Ty Montgomery to Baltimore sort of stolen the thunder around here. People around here really care about their Packers, number one. And kind of that national stuff, number two, you know, all the majestic, you know, Brady versus Rodgers. Maybe if the trade deadline didn't occur and hadn't resulted in some trades, it might be different. But, man, that was big news here.
Yeah, especially, you know, look, there was the fallout late Sunday night from the Ty Montgomery decision and fumble and the anonymous player. And then Montgomery, his quite candid comments Monday, And then, yeah,
which Wednesday, I don't think helped him any.
No, and I mean, let's face it, Wednesday was Brian Gutekunst's day. You know, he met the media as the GM to explain his moves and, you know, put it out there and said, we're going to be active in free agency. It's about, you know, not necessarily sending a message, but taking into account it's not just performance, which to me means he heard what Montgomery said. He's heard what Clinton Dix has said. You know, I you're right. I think there was so much other stuff around this that really until Aaron spoke late Wednesday when it was, hey, what do you think about Tom Brady? I mean, there wasn't much focus on the Patriots in that way.
Yeah. So let's look at the two trades, starting out first with Montgomery. You made reference to his egregious fumble. Really bad on all accounts. We've gone through it. I'm not sure that there's much more that we can add about it, except that there were some teammates, and I believe, you know, Mike Silver, he's a good reporter, and I'm almost 100% certain that the People he talked to were veteran players. They weren't scrubs. They weren't guys who didn't really count for anything on the team. And so I think that when that message got through, I think for Gutekunst it was hard to keep Montgomery, especially in light of his comments then the next day.
Right.
Which maybe you can summarize what you thought about what he said.
Yeah, so I was there in that little bubble around Montgomery, and you know, he sort of half explained away the decision. I mean, he was told, or he said, yeah, we're told all the time to kneel down the ball in the end zone when we're in the end zone, but essentially said it was close enough for me to make a decision. So he made the decision he did, but he said it wasn't a born out of any selfishness over frustration, but then also said he admitted he was frustrated because he doesn't know his role in the offense. And then when it came to the teammates, and maybe this was really, you know, the biggest issue, where he just said, look, I don't know who to trust in here. I don't know if I can trust my teammates anymore.
I think that was the line that probably got Gutekunst, where he's like, okay, maybe we can patch this up if Montgomery falls on the sword and says, you know, totally my fault. Those guys deserve to, you know, had every right to rip me anonymously or to my face, you know. But that, he was very defensive about it. And, you know, it's not a good look for the Packers to cut a guy because he made a mistake and because some veterans didn't think, you know, I had some thoughts that his motivations weren't good. But I also sensed this week that there was like a little bit of a cloud or something out of the locker room. Like everybody seemed to be a little looser this week. And part of that was also the trade of Clinton Dix. So in your mind, why do you think they got rid of Clinton Dix, fourth round pick from Washington?
Yeah, so there's two things, and Gutekunst said he's like, it's a fourth round pick. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of momentum out there about comp picks and all these things. Look, the safety market cratered. The Packers weren't getting any better than a fourth round pick with any contract Ha Ha Clinton Dix signs in this offseason. So that's one thing. I don't know if it's addition by subtraction, but I don't think the team is any worse. I mean, how Clinton Dix has played a lot, and he does turn the ball over. He's the one guy on that defense who this year has had a nose for the ball. That's, I will, right, give him credit. Right now, they don't have that.
Nope.
But he's also been picked on. He's part of a broader safety group that has passes thrown on them. Matchups created, so they're put in man-to-man coverage situations, and they lose.
Yeah,
he lost in L.A. in my opinion on you know, in that red zone play. You know, so sure, Kentrell Bryce and Jermaine Whitehead have had their problems, but I don't know if Tremont Williams is going to be part of the solution this week. Maybe he is going forward, but I don't think how Clinton Dix was so amazing.
Yeah, irreplaceable. That they
can't, irreplaceable, that Mike Pettine can't scheme around him. And also, he made it known. You know, he talked to you. He talked to the Wisconsin State Journal about, hey, where's my money?
Yeah.
I haven't been rewarded. And, you know, I'm not going to be here next year.
Right.
So you just, that's there. And that's in that locker room. And it's with all those guys.
Yeah, and it's one thing if you're Le'Veon Bell, for example, and you've produced like a Pro Bowl player every single year, and you're in the middle of a big year, and you're like, okay, I've gotten to the point now where negotiations are off. I'm just going to focus on football. You know, we've all heard that before. He wasn't in that position. The Packers weren't even talking to him. So, you know, I mean, in that situation, you got to just... If you want to go, he did the right thing. I mean, he got his way. You know, I've seen guys do it in a worst way to get out of town.
Yeah, he was, diplomatic about it at best. I mean, he embraced the trade rumors. He asked you if he was getting traded.
Yeah, he kept asking me what the percent was. But
that's part of it, though. I mean, because what other message, not that he didn't want to be here, but That's how do you not wonder where his business decisions are? And I understand the sentiment is, well, it's a contract year. He's got to be playing hard. Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Contract year means I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, that's
true. And I don't want to put myself in a situation that's going to make me look real bad. I mean, you know, you take the temperature nationally, Tom, and with some, you know, ratings, he's one of the quote-unquote best safeties in the league. That's a perception you want to maintain.
Yeah.
If you're in that boat, and that may lead to some issues snap to snap.
I'll tell you, I talked to two different scouts this week about Clinton Dix. Actually, I talked to three guys. I just remember the other. And the impression by two of them was that he's still a good player, and they remember his Pro Bowl year, which...
A while ago.
You know, yeah, it was a while ago. And I'm not saying, I don't know that. Well, one of the guys watches the Packers regularly. Actually, both the guys who said it watch the Packers regularly. And their impression was that he wasn't a bad player. The third guy was like, there's no way he's getting traded. Nobody's going to trade for him, you know? And so I think there are kind of vast opinions on this guy, you know? And it's not... certain. The only thing is certain is that the Packers weren't going to sign him or you know, weren't going to sign him to an extension.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and look, I mean, sometimes it's when I say addition by subtraction, maybe it's not even a personality thing. And this goes to New England. Guess what? Aaron Jones has to get the ball now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, the guy has to, or Jamal Williams either, or however that works itself out.
It so much reminds me of the movie Moneyball. Now, this is the movie version when Brad Pitt, you know, Art Howe won't play his players. So he starts trading them. So he can't play them and play the guys that he has to play the guys that he gives them. And it's almost like you could read into it, although I don't think that was the case, that Gutekunst said, Aaron Jones needs to be on the field. I'm getting rid of Montgomery, so there's two guys.
Yeah,
where you're forced to play him now.
Without a doubt, there's a time when front offices need to take players away from coaches.
Yeah,
and it's not and you're right. It's maybe not necessarily an us or me versus him dynamic. What happens? And I had this explained to me one offseason by a personnel guy. Tom is in the offseason. Go over the roster. Okay, what if we got rid of this guy? This guy leaves, and a coach can kind of, yeah, you know, he's got these flaws. I can work around it with this. But in season, it is so hard for them because Ty Montgomery, whatever happened in LA, we trust him.
He's on
available.
Special teams.
He's on special teams. Yeah. Look, in six weeks, we're going to have like 12 plays for him against the Vikings. Like,
did you see the two kickoffs he had called back, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so in season, that's so hard for a coach
that's
to get
really
over it.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an excellent
and it might, and so that might end up happening. Same thing with Clinton Dix. Who knows? Maybe with if King and Alexander and Jackson and Breland are all healthy, that secondary, that deep ball is no longer a concern.
Yeah, you know, I think what, you know, Kentrell Bryce called Tremon Williams the godfather, you know, and I think it's easier to be a godfather when you're the safety, when you're the lead safety, because you have to communicate so much with everybody. You make sure guys are lined up right. You have to make sure everybody hears everything. Tremon Williams on the field is off on his own when he's playing corner. He's worried about his own guy and maybe the safety that's next to him, you know, or if it's a bunch formation, then the other corner. But really, I think one thing that'll come out of this is they'll get a guy who the others absolutely respect 100%. Now, I'm not saying they didn't respect Clinton Dix, but if there's anybody who didn't a little, they have to respect Tremon Williams. And I just wonder if that's going to be beneficial, especially with guys like Alexander, Josh Jackson, you know, these young guys, Kevin King. You know, maybe that's going to be – maybe Tremon Williams won't fill the position physically exactly the way they want it, but maybe the gain will be bigger from a assignment standpoint, from a development standpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah, especially, you know, we can go through however many touchdown passes to this point, Tom, red zone or otherwise, did we go to the safeties and say, well, the corner kind of motioned over, or the corner looked like they let a guy go thinking a guy was there. And again, that, you know, where's the breakdown in communication? You know, it's somewhere. So you're right. To that point, those guys all talk to one another, and they kind of know how they sound and talk, you know. So I could see how that could definitely help those younger corners, especially coming up on a weekend like this where, you know, who knows, A, what formations Josh McDaniels is going to put at them, but also, okay, Tom Brady has seen every defense in the book. Well, Tremont Williams has pretty much seen every offense. So you've got this sort of, you know, two guys who've been in the league 15 years, basically, looking at each other.
If I'm Josh McDaniel, and I know that Tremont Williams is going to start, and I know they're going to probably play nickel most of the time, I'm coming out with two tight ends and a fullback, and I'm going to make Tremont Williams tackle. I'm going to make him come up into the box and stop the run. Now, I would guess that 100% of the time, Kentrell Bryce will be up at the line and Tremont Williams will be back. But, you know,
I'd still take that chance. I mean, if you're the Patriots, I'd still,
absolutely,
I'd still do that.
Absolutely, I would do that. And, you know, it's not like their inside linebackers are big, you know, blow them up type guys. So all of a sudden, you know, you're forcing them to play a power game that they probably don't want to play.
Yeah, Antonio Morrison didn't play a single defensive snap against L.A. Corey Toomer was inactive. So I guess I'll be curious. Mike Pettine has a lot of experience going against McDaniels and Bell. Curious to see that inactive list, because you're right. I wonder if they would think that way, where, hey, we might need Corey Toomer or a Morrison or kind of that downhill linebacker.
Right, right. And more assignment, sure, you know, than Oren Burks.
Correct.
Oren Burks is great athlete, but, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Todd Gurley touchdown last week where he crosses the field was on Oren Burks. That was his man, and he was supposed to chase him across the field, and he froze. So, yeah, I would guess that Morrison and Toomer are going to play more in this game. And they need to protect Tremont Williams. And then Bryce has to tackle. Bryce has to be up at the line. He's got to take better angles, and he's got to tackle.
Yeah, it'll be – that's the fun part about this game, I guess, that the chess match there. You know, Pettine's defense, I was skeptical of how well they could perform in Los Angeles and, what, 6 points allowed in the first half. And even that, I mean, it very easily could have, should have been a shutout, the way they were playing, at least in the first 30 minutes. And you know, I think New England has to manufacture. There's a high-scoring team, very, very good in the red zone. But, you know, you're right. I think for them, and Tom Brady said it in his conference call, we have to possess the ball and keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. And what better way to do that, to your point, than just ground and pound against a defense that just isn't really built for that?
Yeah. You know, I thought, if you listened carefully, Joe Philbin gave probably the best assessment of what the Packers have to do, both sides of the ball. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously this is a team that's been winning at an extremely high level for an awful long period of time. And, you know, it's a team that doesn't beat themselves. And I think, I don't know that there's any magic formula, you know, going into those games that I recall that was, you know, emphasized, other than the fact that I think, you know, in some respects you have to beat them at their own game. I mean, I think you have to play sound, tough, smart football. You know, I talked to the offense this week about, listen, one thing we got to do is we got to keep possession of the football. I mean, that's one of the things that I think when you study all the things they've accomplished, one of the best things they've done is hold on to the ball themselves over a course of time. So, you know, I don't think it's, you know, unlike anything else in football, there's no, you know, super scientific equation to beat them. I think you have to, you know, since they're a sound, smart football team that doesn't beat themselves, I think you kind of have to, in some respects, beat them at their own game a little bit.
Philbin is talking about really performance and trying to take the scheme, mystique out of the whole thing, that stop thinking that the Patriots are above and that they're going to make you spin in like a top. Just go play, just like you did against the Rams, and you know it's going to come down to performance.
Yeah, you know that's the thing. The Patriots, they don't make mistakes, but they're not infallible. I mean, they can be beaten. Their statistics aren't great. I mean, this is not the undefeated year. And look, the Packers are 3-3-1. A couple of those losses, Aaron Rodgers turned the ball, like Detroit, Aaron Rodgers turned the ball over a few times in his own end. They've had special teams breakdowns and dumb penalties at times,
right,
in that area. And then, of course, defensively, we talked about the back end issues. And, you know, they kind of avoided some of that for 54 minutes.
Yeah.
So to beat New England, do what you did for 6 minutes longer.
Right, right. Well, you know, statistics don't necessarily mean they kind of mean jack, even though I use them quite a bit.
Are statistics for losers, Tom?
No, I'll never say that. Never say that. But looking at New England's defense, they gave up 480 yards at Jacksonville, 414 at Detroit. They held Miami to 172. They gave up 439 against Indianapolis, 446 against Kansas City, 453 at Chicago, and 333 at Buffalo. That's a significant amount.
That's bad.
Of yards. Yeah.
25th in the league.
Yeah. Now, they make up for it, some with sacks, some with interceptions and fumbles. They cause a lot of fumbles. They don't recover them all, but they cause fumbles. They always get their hands on the ball. I don't think this is a game where the offense has no chance. New England's had some really good defenses where you can't throw the ball on them, but I'm not sure that this is one of those ones.
Yeah, I think speaking of stats, they've allowed 280 yards passing five times already. You know, in context, the Packers have done it four times. They've had their problems, and say whatever Packers fans think of Chicago, or we think of Chicago, the Patriots needed two special teams touchdowns,
right,
to beat that team. And these other, yeah, they've rebounded from their 1-2 start. Mm-hmm. However, they are having to score and playing tight games,
right?
Right. And I think that's what we're going to see Sunday.
Now, Petten, I thought. He also talked on Thursday, sort of talked again about how there was not this magic formula for beating them. Now, he has a ton of experience. And I went back and looked at some of the games that he was defensive coordinator with the Jets. And I think they played him in 10. He was there in 9, 10, 11, 12, and 12. 9-12. And the best game they had was against, was in the playoffs in 2010 season. And I watched that game, and it very much reminded me of how he's playing this group, because he had a bunch of defensive backs that he used. And I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of turns out that way. Again, that would happen if New England is throwing the ball. If they just decide they want to pound the ball against the Packers, then that could be a whole different type of game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talk about experience. Add in the year in Buffalo as a defensive coordinator. I think this will be the 12th time. he's gone up, and it's been obviously the same quarterback and relatively the same system going back. I'm curious, especially, you know, we've talked about the run game for the Packers and who has been at fault, if you will, McCarthy or Rodgers. I mean, if Tom Brady will hand it off 35 times, if that's, I mean, they will stick to that.
Absolutely. And if they're down by 10, 11, two scores, they're still running the ball. You know, don't assume that they're not going to run the ball, because they will. And that's why their play action is so good.
Right, and they do. And James White is, you know, and Sony Michel, I believe that knee injury was not as bad as they thought. I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll see if he plays.
If he plays, but James White for sure is Wisconsin fans know is the real
White
deal.
Could be a killer for the Packers.
It's a bad matchup all the way around.
Yeah, Pettine had a little bit to say about him. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Outside of Brady, I think you would have to say, you can make the argument, he's the first half of the season, he's their MVP. By far leads them in targets and receptions. He's just such a good, he's a complete player. I mean, they can split him out, he can run routes, he can run the route tree. I mean, he's like a wideout. He can run tackle to tackle. There's not any one part of his game that he can't do, so that just makes it very difficult. If you split him out, and then it's hard, okay, do we put a linebacker on him? I think certain safeties have a hard time.
So I don't know, you know, you can't double him, like he says, and that'll be a matchup I'll be interested to see how they handle. You know, do they devote a slot guy and blitz him the whole time and make James White pick up, or what? You know, I'm very interested to see how he handles that. Overall, what did you think of their defensive performance? And I wonder, is it an aberration or is it a sign that they're coming on?
I believe it's the latter, due to health.
Yeah.
Because we've seen this. I mean, this is my go-to stat for 5 weeks, Tom, was the 100 points in the first half and 44 in the second.
Right, right.
I mean, so the bones of it were there, and I think it was a talent issue. I think at times, the safeties weren't very good. They were, and the linebackers we've talked about haven't. That's not a great position. The pass rush is still reliant on breakdowns and an LA that was some really good coverage. But, you know, if that secondary is healthy, they can cover anyone. And they're healthy right now. So I think it isn't an aberration. I think we'll see a lot of the same things Sunday in terms of coverage. You know, Tom Brady has thrown interceptions this year. I mean, if there's a thing Tom Brady does, is he will turn it over at times. And it's not a lot, but he'll do it.
Yeah. He's more willing to throw into coverage than Rodgers is.
Yeah.
He trusts his receivers implicitly, and, you know, he likes to take shots down the field. That's a big part of football, is getting big chunks. You know, it's something the Packers need to get some more of. They got a few in L.A., but that's something they'll have to continue to work on. I just wonder also whether they can put together all three elements. You know, they were close to doing that in L.A. until Montgomery's terrible punt. Well, they also had the fake punt.
Yeah, J.K. Scott's.
And J.K. Scott's bad
very
punt.
Bad, very untimely miss hit, yeah.
Yeah. I'm very surprised they didn't start the clock on Trevor Davis to return from IR. I mean, that's something they miss, is a breakaway returner. You know, it's going to take him a little bit to get ready. He's not eligible until after the Miami game. But that's why I was surprised they didn't start practicing him this week, which means they'd have a two-week window to practice him, and then they could activate him. I don't know. I think a return game is another missing piece on this team.
Yeah, because, well, we mentioned earlier, Ty Montgomery had two long returns called back. There's just two. I mean, the punt, That'll be the thing. Is Randall Cobb back being full-time punt returner? Tremont Williams has sort of this...
I think he has to be.
Yeah.
If Tremont's moving to safety, you would just want him to focus on that.
Right.
Not worry about the punt returns, right?
Yeah, and Ron Zook really wouldn't commit to a returner, although he said he talked to Randall about that.
Yeah. Cobb, in his first game, had a return for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, there may be a temptation to use Valdez-Scantling as well. I think I would not do that. I think I would let him just focus on being a receiver.
It's work.
And don't risk him getting hurt. You know, he's a slight guy. He's definitely got the feet and the speed to get down the field, but I don't know if it's worth it, do you?
No, especially because Geronimo Allison popped up on the injury report again with a groin injury, and the way he, you know, some of these soft tissue problems have gone for the Packers this year, that's not guys out for weeks.
Yeah.
So if Allison is, you know, gimpy or can't go, you know, you're going to need Marquez Valdez-Scantling on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his role has increased, and Randall Cobb, you know, kind of, you know, we'll see what his future holds, but I mean, he might have more value, Tom, at this point, as being able to return your kicks and playing fewer snaps on offense.
I think so. I think he's a scramble guy for Rodgers, but I'd rather have Valdez-Scantling on the field every series with Davante Adams, and then rotate Cobb in whenever. And Equanimeous St. Brown, I think they got to continue to do something with him and use his height advantage. So all in all, I think they have some potential there, but you know they gotta start winning special teams.
Yeah, it's been one thing after another in that regard. The penalties, it was up to this point, but you just Randall Cobb dropped the ball earlier in the season. I mean, they haven't had. It hasn't been special.
No.
It's been below average at times.
And so they lost the Detroit game because of special teams. They lost the Rams game, presumably. You could argue that maybe they wouldn't have scored, but they didn't even give themselves a chance. So, you know, that's two games out of three that they lost that, you know, could have been different if the special teams were better. So that'll be something to take a look at.
Yeah, you can't, as you said, you've got to be on point to beat New England at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah. So before we depart, tell me one thing you think we'll see in this game that, I don't know, maybe people aren't thinking about or just something you feel strongly about.
Interesting. You know, that I could go chalk, Tom, and mm-hmm. say, you know, it's going to be Aaron Jones' show.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the week that Aaron Rodgers, that it clicks and it looks good. Because he's had some numbers in games, but it hasn't looked good sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's been spotty. We mentioned the Montgomery thing, 3rd and 6, leading 27-26, and they go 3 and out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, say what you want about the final 2 minutes, they had a chance to win it beforehand.
Right.
I don't know. Some of that I think is Rodgers is getting healthier a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and some of it's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Davante Adams is really, really playing well. Equanimeous St. Brown. I just think that for some reason, I think this past game that has been kind of hit and miss and a little sporadic and inconsistent. It sounds so goofy to say, but I think Aaron Rodgers and that group might look like what we thought we would see
mm-hmm.
8 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My pick for that would be, I think Davante Adams is going to get doubled to the point where he'll be frustrated and probably won't catch more than a couple balls. I think New England's great at taking away your best
thing. And they got Stephon Gilmore that.
Yeah, but as Adams showed, he's beaten every good corner for big plays practically every single game. You know, he had big plays against Xavier Rhodes, against Slay, Marcus Peters last week. He was spinning Marcus Peters like a top, you know. And he's just, I think he's that good right now, or he's that hot. And they're going to try to take him away, and that's going to put all the pressure on Scantling, Jimmy Graham, and maybe, you know, maybe it's winds up being Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams.
So we disagree a little bit. So you think, so now is that a, so do you believe then it is, if this team is going to win, and maybe you don't believe they'll win, but if they're going to win or be competitive, that it has to be we might see a running game in the hyped up quarterback duel.
Exactly. We might. We just might see that. I don't know what the weather's supposed to be for the game, but it could start out that way, and then it could morph into a passing frenzy. You know, when both teams go into the half and it's 6-3. And they're like, and okay, Jordan, enough of this
Michael
crap.
Jordan's wondering, why did I cut this promo?
Right, and NBC is like, our ratings are dropping. Quick, do something.
That's interesting. I definitely don't disagree with the idea that Bill Belichick and Flores are going to do what they can to take away their best player. I guess what I'm saying is I think, A, Davante Adams is that hot. And I guess I just feel I've seen enough out of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Randall when he's healthy, and Equanimeous St. Brown. Jimmy Graham to me is sort of I don't know. I mean, he's still commanding some attention. So unless New England just decides he can be singled, mm-hmm. and that's where he's fallen to, I don't know. I don't know. There's something about it that I think that might click for them, but. We'll see.
Yeah, well, I think it shapes up to be a fascinating game. You know, as long as the Packers show up and don't play like they played against San Francisco or Detroit, right. then they got a chance. And
yeah.
I think this is a winnable game, and they've got to build on that momentum with the Rams. So I don't know. Other than that, I know that there's a lot of interest in this game. And so I guess we'll just let it play out.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is once every 4 years, whatever it may be. I mean, if you do like football and you appreciate those things, you know, there's a reason there's hype around the quarterbacks. It's because they're as good as they are.
Absolutely.
So it should be fun, even if they're handing off. The 20 or so passes then that they'll make will be worth watching.
And you know what? The game in 2014 was fantastic. Really fun to watch because it turned into Brady and Rodgers just, you know, like it was like a one-on-one basketball game. And I'll never forget the end of it, which was when they showed a photo the cameras caught Brady after Rodgers got the go-ahead touchdown. And he's just like, F-bomb, you know? I mean, it was pretty clear what he was saying. So anyway, let's wrap it up and play the music. And don't forget, you'll be able to hear from us really late at night, early morning on Monday. Yep. Have a nice weekend, everyone.
See
This episode of the JS Online and PackersNews.com podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino. Get on island time to win a Caribbean cruise at Pottawatomie, Thursdays in October and November. For more, you can go to paysbig.com/islandtime.